The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus appeared to the 11 and said to them, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." Then the Lord Jesus, after he spoke to them, was taken up into heaven and took his seat at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word through accompanying signs. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
And welcome everybody now to the Feast of St. Mark, the author of the Gospel that bears his name, and a tiny little break from our ordinary slate of Easter time readings. A lot of people don't quite know who St. Mark is. They erroneously think Mark's one of the apostles. I say, who's Mark? They say, oh, he was one of the apostles. So let's just clear a couple things up. First of all, Mark was not one of the apostles. Okay, who was he? Mark was a companion of St. Paul, okay, on his journeys. Mark was a cousin of St. Barnabas. But the most important thing to understand about Mark is that he's the scribe of St. Peter. Okay, so Mark accompanied Peter to Rome, which is why our first reading was mentioned, because at the end of the letter, Peter mentions that he's in Rome, which he calls Babylon, okay? And he says, and my friend Mark is here with me. So Mark is the scribe of St. Peter. So Mark writes down what Peter preaches, which is why when you hear the Gospel of Mark, what you're actually getting is the Gospel of St. Peter. Now, it's believed that Mark is also the first gospel that was ever written, and the reason for that is that both Matthew and Luke follow the example, follow the pattern of events that's outlined in the Gospel of Mark, almost as if they had a copy of the Gospel of Mark as they wrote. There are lots of unique things about the Gospel of Mark that you don't find anywhere else, just a couple of them for you here today. First of all, Mark tells us more than anybody else about the humanity of Jesus. You'll find phrases in Mark that you won't find any place else in the Gospels. Things like, "And Jesus sighed from the depths of his spirit." Or, "Jesus was filled with the deepest emotions." Or, "Jesus grew indignant with his apostles and said to them, 'How long must I endure you?'" You see the humanity of Christ coming through in Mark like you find no place else. Another thing you find in Mark is something that I've told you about before. It's called the Messianic Secret. And you might have noticed this. Jesus works a miracle. Jesus heals the blind man. And then after he's done, he says, "Now don't tell anybody that I did this." And what happens after Jesus says that? They go and they tell everybody in the world that Jesus did that, right? But Jesus says, "Don't tell anybody that I did this." And you say, "Well, why? Why don't you want everybody to know that you did this?" And the reason is, nobody's going to understand what it means that Jesus is the Messiah until after he suffers and dies. It's really important to the message of the Gospel of Mark. You can't understand Jesus Christ unless you participate in Jesus' suffering. Very important point. So I could go on and on about all the things that are unique to the Gospel of Mark, but can I make one tiny little point today that comes to us from our first reading that St. Peter said? 1 Peter chapter 5, one of the most frequently quoted and beloved passages, says, "Be sober and alert. Your opponent, the devil, is prowling like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, solid in your faith." A little tiny thought about that. You know, a lion is the most powerful animal in all the world. I once had the opportunity to go tracking lions in Botswana, believe it. I got to do this once in my life. I was in an open-top jeep sitting in the front seat going through the forests and the savannas of the Okavango River Delta, tracking lions. And we came across a couple of lions that were resting, finally managed to catch up with them. And we stopped and we watched them. And then the lion moved. And the entire forest responded. It was incredible. The birds started calling, the hyena cackled, the baboon howled, and every animal in the jungle stood up on edge as soon as the lion moved. It's the most powerful animal of all. And so St. Peter, right, living under persecution in Rome, mentions the lion as the image for the power of Satan. But Peter knows very well that the lion is first and foremost an image of Christ our Lord. Like Isaiah the prophet said, he's the lion of the tribe of Judah. And the darkness is absolutely powerless against him. A lion is also the image of the Gospel of St. Mark. You want to know why? Because at the very beginning of the Gospel of St. Mark, John the Baptist stands up and witnesses to Christ. And he cries out, "Prepare the way of the Lord." Now, what I would like you to understand is that as powerful as you think the forces of evil are in this world, the forces of good are more powerful still. Just like the powers of darkness are obliterated by the light, so too is the power of evil obliterated by the witness of one who bears witness to Jesus Christ. And that is what we, you and I, must be. St. Peter says, "The God of all grace, who's called you to glory through Jesus Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. You who have suffered for just a time. But as we suffer, let's remember that the greatest power of all is the power of goodness witnessed to us through Christ, if we will bear witness to that." And ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. St. Mark, pray for us.